Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Good morning, Bethel Church. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. I'm so honored that you would join me today as we celebrate our risen Savior. Jesus is risen. But today, in our world, we are in some unprecedented times as we are celebrating Easter, not together with each other, but we're celebrating in our homes. Now, there was a time, the first Easter, to the followers of Jesus. They were meeting together. They were quarantined together for the first Easter. And we'll get to that story. But today, I've been hearing two questions over and over. The first question is, where is God? Where is God in this pandemic? Where is God in this COVID-19 crisis, this economic meltdown? The second question I've been hearing is, what is God doing? Where is God and what is God doing? And this morning, I believe as we reflect on the first Easter, the first resurrection day, and as we reflect on the first followers of Jesus, I think they too may have been asking the same questions. The same questions. Where is God? What is he doing? Well, I tell you one place today, church, that Jesus definitely is not. He is not in the tomb. He is not in the grave. For he is risen. Yes, he is risen. Our Savior, he has risen. You know, if you were here this morning, many of you, when I said he is risen, your response would be, he is risen indeed. So I'm going to invite you, I'm going to ask you in a moment when I say he is risen again, that you would respond wherever you're at with, he is risen indeed. Together, would you do that with me? Are you ready? He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed, church. Now, before we go back to those two questions that I posed at the beginning, I want you to know what we've been doing. What we've been doing here at Bethel. What God has been doing at Bethel with us during the past several weeks. See, March 15th, our last meeting together in our church building, our last service together in person, I challenged us to a time of prayer, a time of prayer every day from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. We have now called that time an hour of power. The hour of power. We have been praying since March 15th, Monday through Friday, online together. Hundreds of you have been joining us for a powerful time of prayer. And God is moving. Let me tell you, church, God is moving. We are hearing so many praise reports, so many answered prayers, so many miracles. God is moving, and we're not going to stop praying. We're going to continue to pray, and we're going to continue to have the hour of power, and we want to join you. We want to ask you to join us for that hour of power as we continue to pray Monday through Friday at noon to 1. You can find a link online at BethelChandler.com. We're streaming live on Facebook as well. We want to invite you to join us. Just drop in for any period of time for that hour of power. So after a week of praying like that together, we were invited to join a movement called Unite 714. So on March 22nd, we made a decision to join believers, to join churches from over 179 nations in the world that have joined. Millions of Christians around the world are praying. And at 7:14 in the morning, we have been praying together. We've been praying a prayer together. And at 7:14 at night, we've been praying a prayer together. And so today, before we go any further in this resurrection message, in this new series we're beginning today, Made New. And my message today is entitled, The Mission. Because I believe the mission answers those two questions that so many people have today. Where is God? What is God doing? But before we get into that, I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to come and pray that 7:14 prayer. So come on, give it up for my beautiful wife as she comes and prays.
Welcome, Bethel family. Let's pray together. Lord, we humbly call upon your name, asking you for supernatural peace and strength. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul speaks of the spiritual power of prayer. As we pray today, we're fully engaged and armed for battle against COVID-19. Your word says that when we pray according to your will, our prayers are mighty and powerful.
Amen.
You are our rock, shield, and fortress. Lord, protect our families, churches, cities, and nations from the effects of COVID-19.
Yes.
We ask you to put fresh words of faith, comfort, healing, and salvation in the mouths of your people around the world.
Amen.
Give pastors and their congregation the words they need to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We pray through this prayer of faith today that fear and worry will lose its grip over our world. And Lord, we ask you to shield us, our families, our churches, our cities, and the nations of the world from the ravages of COVID-19. Yes, God. We ask you to shield all doctors, nurses, first responders, and vulnerable people from contracting COVID-19. And lastly, Lord, we ask you to shield the world from panic and despair as your church boldly proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. In this uncertain time, may people find true comfort and peace in their souls as they call upon your name. We humbly ask all these things in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, saints. Amen. Thank you, Julie. Isn't she beautiful? I was so married up, didn't I, church? Hallelujah. Well, I'm blessed today to not be preaching in a completely empty sanctuary. For today, my family is here. My family's here amening me, saying, come on, Dad, come on, bring it. Bring the word. So I'm going to bring the word. I feel their encouragement here today with me. And now don't check out early today, because at the end of the message, at the end of today's message, I'm going to invite my wife back up for a special announcement that you don't want to miss. Now, it's not that we're pregnant, okay? So just want to settle that. We're not pregnant, even though I think a lot of people may be getting pregnant during this time, during this coronavirus. But we have a special announcement, so stay to the very end today. So now back to our questions. Where is God, and what is God doing? Again, I think when we look back to what God was doing on the cross, what God did on the cross, I think we can get some revelation of what God's up to, what God's always been up to. God has always been up to relationship and restoring relationship with us. This is what God is up to. This is what God is all about. God Himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, He is relationship. He created you and I for relationship. So you can know this for certain. God is always up to restoring relationship, healing relationship. He is all about mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. You know what I found out this week? God has sandwiched our nation. He has sandwiched our nation with two ships. One ship called Mercy, the Mercy Ship. The other ship called Comfort. The two military ships, the hospitals, the floating hospitals that are on both sides of our nation in New York City and LA, they're named Mercy and Comfort. Church, in this time, I don't know all that God is up to. I don't understand everything that's going on. But what I do know is God loves us. He loves this nation. He loves this world. And He proved it 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son to die for this world. Not to condemn it, not to judge it, but to save it. This is what God is still up to. This is still God's mission. He wants all to come to know Him. He wants all to experience eternal life. This is God's heart and God's desire. In the midst of this coronavirus, which I believe was sent from the pit of hell, God will use it to restore relationships. God will use it to save people. No doubt. But I believe, just like there's two ships on each coast of this nation, God is extending mercy and comfort for us. This is what God is doing. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Because I think we'll hear what Paul writes, what God was doing on the cross, where God was on the cross. And what God was doing on the cross. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, He erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, He deleted it all. And that cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto His cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were His. Church, that is good news. This is what God accomplished on the cross. He paid for our sin. He destroyed the works of the enemy. There at the cross, He said, "It is finished. It is finished." So where is God? Where is God? He's in you. He's in you. He's in me. He's in all those who've called upon Him. That's where He's at. God is in you. He's inside you and me who believe in Jesus, who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who have received the power of what took place on the cross. The forgiveness of our sins. We have been born again. And He said He will deposit His Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus, resurrected Him. Today, the day that we're celebrating, Resurrection Day, Easter, that same power lives inside of us. So where is God? He's in us who believe. He's inside of us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Paul writes, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. Church, he's in you. He's in me. He'll never leave us or forsake us because of the cross, because of what was done on the cross. The accuser has no power because our sins have been forgiven. That's amazing news. So where is God? Today, he's in every heart that has received him as their Lord and Savior. So what is God doing? He's moving through those who believe. That's what he's doing. God's kingdom is coming. His will is being done through us. We're called ambassadors. We're called to be disciples. We're called to bring heaven to earth. What is God doing? He's moving through his children. He's moving through believers. Church, we're leaning in to the presence of God like never before. We're standing on his promises today like never before. God is at the move. He's on the move. He's on the move, and he's moving through us, his sons and daughters. That's the truth. Follow me to Luke chapter 4 as Jesus quotes the book of Isaiah at the beginning of his ministry. This is the ministry. This is the mission that God has given to us. The same Spirit, again, that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of us. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus is anointing us to do what? His mission. And this is the mission Jesus was sent to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the mission. Where is God? He's in all of us who believe. And what is he doing? He's moving through us by his Spirit. As we receive his grace, as we receive his power, as we receive his love, as we receive his forgiveness, freely we receive this favor from God and freely we give it. Church, we are Jesus' hands and feet. This is our greatest hour. This is our greatest hour, but if we're going to do all that God's called us to do, and he's called us to do a lot, we can't do it in our own strength. But we're going to need resurrection power. Again, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you and I. But I want to go back. I want to go back nearly 2,000 years ago and see what the early disciples and followers, what they faced, how they felt alone, how they didn't know where God went. They didn't know what God was doing. Very similar to what many are thinking and believing today, they're going through today. So, let's move to the cross in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law and elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Church, today, again, on the cross, I want to pull some lessons that we can understand what God is up to, what God is always up to, even as we zoom in on the thieves on the cross, even as we zoom in to what Jesus did on the cross. As Jesus has been nailed to the cross and hanging and suffering after being beaten and whipped and spit upon, unrecognizable by the time he got to the cross. And there on the cross, he's just saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Can you picture it? Being mocked and ridiculed, hanging there in pain, suffering over and over again, just saying, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. But here in Matthew's account, we see that the thieves even mocked him. But if you know Luke's account, you think, at face value, wait a second, Luke describes it differently. In fact, if you just take it at just face value and don't press in to see a deeper revelation, a better understanding, you might think Matthew's account and Luke's account contradict each other. But they don't. They don't, especially if you believe. You got to just lean in, and we're going to lean in. Because here, Matthew's account says both criminals were mocking Jesus. But in Luke's account, it's a little different. Let's go there. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Are you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. So how is this not a contradiction? Well, if you can understand the crucifixion, Jesus was nailed to the cross at about 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Jesus breathed his last breath. There's 6 hours. There's 6 hours for the criminals, both criminals, to see Jesus and his amazing love as they keep hearing Jesus say, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Not responding in anger, but mercy and love. I believe at the beginning, both criminals probably mocked Jesus along with the crowds. But one criminal after a period of time, as he saw love hanging on a tree, his eyes were opened. His eyes were opened. He saw Jesus. He saw love. And he turned after he repented from his actions earlier and said, stop it, to the other criminal. We deserve this. We're guilty of what we've done. We deserve our punishment. This man's done nothing wrong. And all I've seen over this whole period of time is love coming out of him. The more they mocked him, the more love came out. All that flowed out of Jesus, love and mercy and forgiveness and healing and goodness and kindness. He repents on the cross. And And he turns to Jesus and he asks Jesus really to have mercy on him. Would you take me into your kingdom? Would you let me come with you? Oh, Jesus wants to take all of us with him. Jesus desires for none to perish, but all to come to know him. This is his heart. This is God's desire. Paradise. So where did Jesus go? Where did Jesus go? When Jesus died, when he gave up his last breath, where did he go? Into the tomb? His body went into the tomb, but his spirit and his soul, according to Jesus' words on the cross, where he was going to paradise that day. He was on his way to paradise. Abraham's bosom. Follow me over to Luke chapter 16, where Jesus talks about paradise, talks about the place. Those before he came and Jesus lived and died, where they went, where people in the Old Testament, people that lived before Jesus, where did they go when they died? Luke tells us, as Jesus tells this story, Luke chapter 16, verse 22. So it was that a beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that I may testify to them. Lest they also come to the place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Jesus told the thief that repented, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, as Jesus ends his life, as he cries out his last breath, it says here, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. So where did Jesus go? Where was Jesus? As the disciples felt left, they didn't know where God was. They didn't understand. They didn't understand, even though Jesus told them plainly what was going to happen. He told them over and over and over again, but they didn't get it. Just like you and I don't get the things of the kingdom until God opens our eyes, until we ourselves are born again. But when Jesus died there on the cross, his body died, but his spirit and his soul went to paradise, went to go rescue all of the Old Testament saints that were being held in paradise. And as Jesus told the story, those that believed before, they were in paradise being held back from being able to go to heaven. But those who didn't believe, those that were wicked, they were in Hades, a waiting place for the final judgment. And there was a chasm that separated those that believed in the coming Savior, those that believed in Jesus that was going to come. They were in a waiting place. And that's where Jesus went. See, Jesus, He's always loving people, saving people. Church, right now, let me tell you what he's doing right now in the midst of this corona crisis, in the midst of this storm. Jesus is saving people. Jesus is bringing comfort and mercy to people. Jesus is loving people. Jesus is opening up people's eyes. This is what Jesus is doing. Where is Jesus? He's in us. And he's using us to share this good news with others. But during this time, the followers of Jesus had to wait. They didn't know this because they hadn't been saved yet. They hadn't been born again yet. Jesus was going to save and to rescue the Old Testament believers. He was going to paradise where he was going to proclaim the good news. And I believe he was going, as Peter and Colossians and others say, he was going. He was going to proclaim the good news, the faithfulness of God, the love of God. He was going to proclaim it to even the spirits. Going to rescue those who are waiting. Church, if we wait upon him, he will save us. The followers of Jesus, they were frightened. They didn't understand what was going on. They didn't get it. Just like some of us, we don't get it. I don't fully get it. But what we've chosen to do is wait on God. And we're super grateful that he is in us. That he isn't just with us, but he is in us. See, when the disciples lived on the earth, God was with them. And in the Last Supper, during the Last Supper, Jesus told them, the Holy Spirit who is with you will soon be in you. The Holy Spirit wasn't in them yet. But where was he? Where was he during those 3 days? He was saving. He was loving. He was fulfilling his promise. He was fulfilling his promise to those that believed before he came, as they too were waiting on the coming Savior, the Messiah. They were waiting on Jesus too to save them and rescue them. And it was fulfilled. And when Jesus resurrected on the third day, he brought all of those who were waiting. He brought all of those who had been waiting on him. He is faithful, church. He is faithful. If you wait upon him, he will renew your strength. If you wait upon him, he will comfort you. If you wait upon him, you will experience the strength to get through this storm, church. How long do we have to wait? I don't know. Ultimately, we're waiting right now for Jesus to return. The second coming, we're waiting. Is this that moment? I don't know. And I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm just staying close to him. I'm just staying close to Jesus. And I'm trying to give Jesus to others during this storm and during this time. When we're the first followers born again, like we've been born again, like Jesus is offering for all of you who are watching who haven't been born again yet, when we're the first disciples born again, they got born again on the first day possible. Resurrection day. Turn with me to John chapter 20 as beginning to close. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Church, the first day, resurrection day, as they were quarantined in a house together, afraid, still not understanding, still not knowing what had to take place. We know that even Mary and the other ladies who went to the tomb and they saw it was empty, they didn't get it. Mary Magdalene ran to Peter and John on the morning of the resurrection. And she goes, somebody's stolen Jesus. He wasn't stolen. He was resurrected. Jesus proved in that moment, he proved that he was who he says he was. As Jesus predicted the way he would have to suffer, the way he would die, and on the third day, rise again. Church, this is why I believe. Because he did resurrect. And he resurrected me. And he resurrected you. And the evidence is all around. It's all around us. The resurrection power lives inside of us. Church, where is God? He's right here. And what is God doing? He's moving through those who believe. He's moving through those who would say, here I am, God, use me. Church, this is our hour to say, God, here I am, use me. Direct me. Show me what you want. And today, Easter Resurrection Day, Jesus is still offering the good news, this good news, that you too can experience resurrection life. You too can be adopted into God's family. You too can assure yourself a home in heaven for eternity. You too can become the home of the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's not enough just to believe this, but at some point, you, like the disciples here, have to receive the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus revealed himself. They saw the risen Savior. And as they saw him, they believed. And as they believed, they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a mystery. I can't explain to you just how he does it. But what I do know is that he opens eyes. He gives us ears that we can hear. And he just brings revelation, enough evidence that we would be willing to take a step of faith into that love. There's enough evidence in this moment that you would say, I'm willing to step out by faith and ask Jesus to come into my heart. Because he's here. He's here. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He is with you. He's not far. The Bible says God is with us. You didn't just stumble across this message today. But God wanted you to hear his love story. He wanted you to hear that he loves you and that he has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants to spend eternity with you. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Yet as many that have received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become sons and daughters of God, become children of God." So today, before we go any farther, if today your eyes have been opened, today you would say, "I believe." Doesn't mean you don't have doubts and unbelief, but today you say, "I believe, and I desire to give my life to Jesus. I desire, like the thief on the cross, I desire for Jesus to remember me. I desire for Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior." Today, you can know for certain where you're going to spend eternity. Today, you have the opportunity for a living hope, an eternal hope to come into your heart in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the craziness that's going on in the world. Today, your soul can be anchored in the love of God. Today, all you have to do is believe that Jesus lived the life you were supposed to live, but you couldn't. And that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. And on the third day, he rose again. You believe that today, and you confess with your mouth that you believe that, you will be saved, the Bible says. Romans 10:9. And so right now, would you bow your heads? Would everyone just bow your heads and pray with me? There's so many people watching this right now. This is such an important moment. Don't let this moment pass by, this amazing moment of God's love and his mercy. Would you bow your heads? Just bow your heads. Close your eyes in this moment. Everyone, please just join with me. Pray with me. Stand with me. Pray this prayer. Even if you've prayed this before, pray it again along with those that may be praying this for the first time or the 10th. But this time, you're like, "I really believe, and today I'm surrendering my life and my heart to Jesus." If that's you today, pray this prayer with me. And all those that are watching, that are joining in, say, "Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins and my mistakes. Jesus, remember me. Let me be a part of your family and your kingdom. Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I put my faith and my trust in you and what you did on the cross. And I believe that you did conquer sin and death, that you conquered it on the cross. And on the third day, you rose again, proving that you had the power to save, proving that you were who you said you were. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me in this moment. I acknowledge that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so proud of all of you that prayed that prayer with me. The Bible says that the angels are throwing a party in heaven today. Just if one of you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Jesus, they're throwing a party for you. Before we go on to the end, just a few moments longer, we just want to invite you to go to our website, BethelChandler.com. We want to connect with you. We'd love to send you some information, even a gift today. If you would go there and hit connect and just let us know that you gave your life to Jesus today, or maybe you rededicated your life, or maybe you're like, "I just want to connect. I need to connect to a church today." We would love to connect with you. Praise God. This time I'm going to ask my wife to come back and join for this special announcement of what we're planning to do, church. What we're planning to do over the next 40 days. Because we've been born again, and for you who have just been born again, you can now see the kingdom of God. John 3:3 says this. Very truly I tell you, Jesus says this. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You know, so many times we read the Gospels and we think that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, understood what he was talking about. For 3.5 years, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. Jesus, he showed what the kingdom of God looked like through miracles and provision. And he showed what it was to be a son of God. But yet, even up to the end, they didn't get it. Why? Because they were blind. Yeah, sure, there were moments that they got revelation, but then they almost lost it. They couldn't keep it fully. Why? Because they hadn't been born again. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross and resurrected yet. But in Acts chapter 1, it says, Luke says, I wrote all about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Church, he'd been speaking to them for 3.5 years about the kingdom of God. That's right. But they didn't get it. Why? Because they hadn't been born again. Church, we are going on a 40-day journey. We are going to choose to quarantine ourselves together. We're choosing that. To quarantine ourselves with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and each other.
That's right.
And so Jude's going to talk about that and what that is looking like. So we can have a better understanding of the kingdom of God that God wants to bring to earth.
So just as we as a nation are in a quarantine, like Mike just said, just like the early disciples were, they were quarantined after the resurrection. What's interesting is the word quarantine many times refers to 40. 40 days of isolation, 40 days of separation, 40 days. So from now until Pentecost, for the next 40 days, we as a church are going to believe for that change, that transformation to be happening in our own lives, in the lives of our family, our church, our city, our nation, and the nations of the world. So over the next 40 days, we are going to still continue our hour of power from Monday through Friday from noon to 1, because we are a house of prayer. We are the persistent widow in Luke 18. Yeah. We're going to continue our 7:14 a.m. and p.m. prayers. But in addition, this is what we're going to be doing for the next 40 days, because we are seeking that transformative change by the power of the gospel, because we all need more change, don't we? What we're going to do is, after our 7:14 a.m. prayer, one of our amazing pastors is going to be presenting online after prayer a devotion about the kingdom, a devotion presenting the truths of the gospel, the transformative truths of Jesus, so that we can be more transformed. And at the end of these next 40 days, we're going to look different, and we're going to look more like Jesus. Our world is going to look more like Jesus, and we're going to see his kingdom increased.
Amen. We don't know, thank you, sweetness, we don't know all that's going to happen in the next 40 days. We don't know what our world's going to look like in the end of these 40 days, but we know what the world inside of us can look like. We know what our immediate world can look like. We can look more like Jesus. We can look more like heaven. Amen. And so that's what we're making a commitment to. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to war against this coronavirus. We're going to continue to ask for wisdom for our leaders. And we're going to continue to see the gospel, the good news of God, spread throughout the world and the earth. And people are going to get saved over these next 40 days. But together as a church, we're going to just invite people in for this time. Even as Jesus, He wanted to I believe during those 40 days before he ascended into heaven, Jesus wanted them, the disciples, the followers, up to 500 people, he wanted them to know their new identity, their new ID. Church, as sons and daughters of God, we don't have a sin problem. Jesus took care of that on the cross. Our only challenge is our identity, not knowing who we truly are, who God's truly made us to be. And this is going to be an exciting journey together as we discover new gifts, as we discover new things about God. The more we get to know who God is, the more we'll know who we are. It's going to be an amazing time together. So join us. Come on, join us on this 40-day journey. I believe God's going to speak to you powerfully. He's going to change you. He's going to change me. Church, this is our greatest hour. Where is God? He's right here. He's right here. And what is God doing? Man, he's using us to change the world. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Easter, on this Resurrection Day. You need to remember this always. You are loved, you are blessed, and you are highly favored. We love you, and we'll see you very soon. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.